So, probably not a lot of you saw the movie Sidekicks, but Sidekicks was a movie about a young boy who had a hero. Y'all probably had a hero as you're growing up, or a heroine of some type or the other that you wanted to be like. Well, Danny wanted to be like Chuck Norris. A lot of you probably don't even know who Chuck Norris is, but Chuck Norris is a karate expert and has had a couple of TV shows and a lot of movies where he's the tough guy. And he's going to just kick anyone's rear end that doesn't toe the line, right? And so Danny wanted to be like him, and he fantasized that he could be just like his karate championship hero. Now, he was just a kid, and he was ridiculed, and he would have in the movie shows that he would imagine Chuck Norris being there, you know, and then he was doing all this stuff, and that he was being like Chuck Norris, a kind of a what do you call, invisible friend type thing. Now, eventually in this movie, Danny actually met Chuck Norris, and Chuck Norris kind of took him to his side, and he taught him how to improve himself. And although Danny was kind of a wimpy guy, Chuck Norris said, "Stop dreaming and start doing." Not next Monday, right? But get with it. Establish some obtainable goals. It ended up in the movie, Danny rose to the impossible, like some of those types of movies are, and actually became the image of his hero. And one, it's been a while since I saw the movie, but he was fighting alongside, literally fighting alongside Chuck Norris. In essence, he was an image of Chuck Norris. He became like him. I think we can see a parallel with our purpose and our goal that we are working towards. We're not looking to be like some human individual or hero, but we know who we want to be and to be like. Herbert Armstrong was instrumental in bringing a lot of truth back to this day and age, but he wrote in The Plain Truth some words that I thought were very motivational, helpful. This is a 1963 Plain Truth magazine. He said, "God is the supreme personal being of supreme intelligence, wisdom, total knowledge, and power. The Almighty, the creator and ruler of the entire universe. God is also perfect, holy, and true spiritual character." Now again, you know, Danny wanted to be like his hero that he thought was perfect, Chuck Norris, but God is the perfect hero. He's all of these things, and our goal is to become like him, literally. Mr. Armstrong continued to say, "God's purpose is to reproduce himself, to create in us, with our free choice and effort, his very own righteous character, and ultimately to endow us with his own glory and power. He wants us to become like him." That's his purpose. That's our purpose. That's why we were created. Goes on to say, that is why God made man in his own image, physically, and endowed him with mind like God's, except limited and fallible. That's God's purpose for us. That's God's goal. That's why we're here right now. The day of Pentecost is coming pretty soon. In the next just a few weeks. But the day of Pentecost helps us focus on the purpose of human existence. Why did God place us here? What's his purpose? What are we to do? How are we to achieve that goal? What does it take for us to get there? This requires that we eventually attain God's image. If we're going to be sons of God, daughters of God, we have to be in His image. Like Danny, we start with a dream. When God opened your mind, you saw what some of the purpose was that God had in mind, and you began doing what it took, going through what was necessary to be like God. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit so that you'll be able to do these things that God requires of us. The sermonette was actually a very good introduction to what we're talking about. But how can we do that? How can we make this a reality? What does it take, what does it entail for us to become fully like God? If we understand a few things that God established so that we could become that. If Danny had wanted to become like Godzilla, this giant monkey that, you know, was huge and hairy, and she said, one day I can become like Godzilla. It wouldn't make sense. You know, it was a human that he said, if I work hard, I could become like this human. Now, God has done the same thing. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When he had a plan for us to become like him, he said, here's how we're going to start. We're going to make it attainable. We're going to make it something that they can envision, that they can get into, that they can apply as part of their lives. So Genesis 1:26, and God said, let's make man, or human beings, in our image and likeness. A couple of translations, New Living says, let's make human beings in our image to be like ourselves. Good News Translation says, and now we'll make human beings, and they will be like us and resemble us. Husband and wife have children, and they want their children to resemble them. They count fingers and toes, and, you know, I want to make sure that their child is going to be okay, right? That's the way it is with God. He wants us to resemble Him, and so He made us even physically in His image. You may remember, those of you that were back around in the 90s with the church that many were a part of at that time, that when they began dismantling the basic truths of God, one of the things they dismantled was, we don't know what God looks like. You know, he's just beyond our possible imagination that he's, you know, this gigantic ball of gas or something that's just so beyond our imagination, and that's what God is like. We have no idea what He's like. Well, yes, we do. We certainly do. Along with some of the other insane ideas that came from that era. But Genesis chapter 5, verse 3 pretty well explains it. When He said, let us make humans in our likeness and in our image. Genesis 5, verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and named him Seth. Said, basically, Seth looked a lot like Adam. Okay, a few differences, undoubtedly, but it looked a lot like him. And that's what God says when He's made human beings in our image and in our likeness. In other words, we look a lot like God. Now, let's clarify. God does not look like us. We look like God. We don't make God in our image and say, well, God looks like I do. No, in a sense, you might say that. But really, Man was created in God's image. So don't say God looks like I do. We look like God does. He chooses, in Scripture, it's like you can take what we just read and say, yeah, that makes sense. That's what it says about Adam and his son. But when God talks about himself, he wrote it down and had people see visions and images of basically what he looked like. And, for example, in Ezekiel 1:26, it said, upon the likeness of the throne, and speaking of what the throne looks like, was a likeness of the appearance of a man above and on it. So when you see a description of the throne, when various visions were given to these individuals, Ezekiel in this case, says the appearance of a man, pretty plain. Jesus, when he took the disciples up on the mountain and he was transfigured into a vision of what was like, you know, and remember when there was a vision, and it wasn't an actual occurrence, but the vision of Moses and Abraham being there. And Christ appears as a man in the vision of the kingdom. Revelation chapter 1, go ahead, if you want to turn over to 1 verse 13 in Revelation. But here's a vision of the future, the kingdom, if it will, looking into the heavens. And you just review and look at the words here. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13 says, among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. Okay, there's a vision of Christ. Dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and there was a sash around his chest. And verse 14, his head and hair were white like wool. His eyes were burning with fire. Verse 15, his feet were bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand were seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sword. His face was shining like brilliance. It wasn't a... I remember Mr. Armstrong speaking at times, but he said he was speaking to a group in Africa. And he says, so God is not black like you are. And he's not pasty and white like I am. He's brilliant. So I gotta, it's God, you know, but his shape, he's got all these things, you know. So it sounded bad to begin with, right? You know, but I love that. But that's the image that God wants us to have of him. In other words, something attainable. You can become like me, God says. And not, and a physical form starts there. And I don't know, you know, I don't get in and even speculate and think about like how large of a thing that is. Is God 6 foot two or, you know, 60 foot 10 or something like that? I think he's basically maintaining essentially what we have. But the point is, he says you can be like me. It's attainable. Not a 1,000 foot ball of fire, right? He wants us to know that we are very special to him and that he wants us to be his children, to be like him, like you wanted your children to be like you. Now, this doesn't lessen who he is. This doesn't lessen his power. This doesn't lessen all he does and how he does it just because he chooses to make us to look like he does. But it does help us focus our minds on what we can become. Now, we can summarize by saying that God's his exterior image, we are in his image in that way, and then his interior qualities, his character, the way he is, the way he thinks, and again, there are qualifications to that because we've kind of, mankind has gone another direction, but that's a part of what we're talking about. Dictionary of the Bible puts it this way. says God is an extremely vigorous personality who plans, desires, achieves, and responds personally to the words and deeds of men. In this living quality, man resembles him. Thinking, planning. You know, Peter was talking about doing. You got to have a plan. He's got to be doing something. He's got to be accomplishing something. Now, everybody's got a different personality in different ways and different levels of these things. But we basically like to plan. We like to achieve like a family, a career, create something. God's a great creator, right? Some of you like to garden, or attempt to garden at least, and or have chickens or animals, and you like to have your space to do things, to make things nicer. You know, we bought a nice home that Kay's going through and doing all kinds of things and painted cabinets different, and we took rocks out of a place and putting different rocks in, and it's just what we like to do, right? That's what God is doing, but on such a greater scale. And God wants us to say, hey, I'm making you like me. Planning for the feast, right? I mean, that's fun. You say, what are we going to do? How are we going to, what are we going to learn? And anticipate, and it's fun. That's the way God is. Go to Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. And notice how even the context he puts this being created in his image. New Living Translation in Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let's make human beings in our image to be like ourselves. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, all the small animals that scurry along the ground. You know, even kids like to have a rabbit or something, or a cat, or something that's theirs. And I didn't appreciate this morning Marlia's cat that jumped up on my bed, right next to my head. It did not last but like a fraction of a second before it wasn't on the bed. But at any rate, but they have all these animals and things. Verse 27, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and govern it. And mankind likes to govern. And of course, mankind has taken things, governing, and make it political or dictatorial or all of these things that are going against God's direction and guidance, and we'll see if that's a part of this plan as far as to understand that. But he said, govern it, create, do interesting things, because that's what you'd be doing for eternity, but on such a grander scale, such an unbelievable scale. Psalm chapter 8 is one of my favorite scriptures and principles here. Psalm chapter 8. This is how God wants us to envision him. This is how God wants us to relate to him. Psalm 8, verse 3, New Century Version says, I look at your heavens, which you made with your fingers. I see the moon and stars, which you created. This creation aspect. And verse 4 said, but why are people important to you? What is man that you are mindful of him, as King James says? Why do you take care of human beings? I mean, all this vastness of the universe, you picked us to do something with. You care for us. We're special to you. Why? Why me? Verse 5, you made him a little lower than the angels. A couple of translations are interesting. Good News translation says, you made them inferior only to yourself. This actually, angels are going to be working for us in the kingdom. Scripture makes clear in Hebrews and other areas. But you made us second only to you. All the vast universe. And here you are. You care. It says, and you crown them with glory and honor. So he put us here to give us glory. It was kind of like when Chuck Norris was training Danny. You know, I want to make you good. You know, like Miyagi, if you were into, what do they call it, Karate Kid. You know, Miyagi worked so this kid could be glorious, if you will, winning championships. And so God made you to be a winner, to be glorious, to win the championship, to be a part of God's family. And verse 6, you put them in charge of everything you made. You put all things under their control. That's what we just read, that he said, fill the earth and govern it. And because that's what I do. I'm a governor. Okay, I'm a ruler. I'm a king. I've got a kingdom. And you're going to be like me. And so here's your little kingdom. And that's what Peter was talking about. You know, you've got your little kingdom that you're responsible for. Do something with it. Okay? So you can, in the small things, be ready for the big things. When that's given to us as his children, as being made in his image. And that, you know, puts you in mind of Isaiah 9:7. I won't turn over there because you've heard it read many times. You've read it many times, but Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Isaiah 9:7. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now that's talking about after we're changed to spirit being, that government is going to continue to grow and we're going to be ruling with him. And the zeal of God is performing that. And what he expects is, as Sermonette was working on pointing out, that you know, get with the program. Okay, let's make every day a part of this process. So we'll talk more about in just a minute. So to become a part of his project and this process, we have to strive to become like him. We've got to strive to be in his image in all things. Now, man has the ability, with God's help, to follow his way. Remember, Adam and Eve chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there is good that we can choose, but mankind has chosen the evil part of that and has messed things up. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. So in going about this process, we've got to do it God's way. You know, Chuck Norris would have showed up on Danny's door and he says, look, you've got to work out, and you got to run so many miles a day, and you got to lift weights or whatever it was that he had him do so you can be ready and have the skills. And then Danny says, well, I think I'll go out drinking tonight. You know, I don't feel like running. I want to sleep in. You know, this getting up early in the morning before sun and working out is just not for me. He would not become like Chuck Norris, right? And so God sets these rules and he says, look, you can become like me. Here's how to do that. And he gives us these instructions. He said, follow these rules, this procedure, this process, and you can become like me. Now, if you determine not to, not going to happen. Pretty simple. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Good News translation. Romans 1, 18, it says, God's anger is revealed from heaven against all the sin and all evil against the people whose evil ways prevent the truth from being known. I got a plan for everybody. Okay, but the way you're going about it, it's not going to be achieved because you're blocking this process. You're keeping it from happening. How do people prevent the truth from being known? Verse 19, it says, God punishes them because what can be known about God is plain to them. For God himself made it plain. I created man in my image and my likeness, and I want you to become like me. Not the other way around. Don't make me in your image. Verse 20 says, For since God created the world, his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. They're perceived in the things that God has made. So those people have no excuse at all. I mean, what did it say? He said he made them male and female. Pretty clear. How clear is that today in this society? It's still clear if you're willing to see God and what he's done. And man has messed things up so much that, you know, the transgender thing and all that is that people are confused. They don't know what to think. They don't know how to go about it. And they've just rejected God's clear statements. And the confusion and the tragedy that's out there with people that don't understand the plain truth could be fixed and repaired by following God's way. But they're going about it their way. They're making man in man's image. Verse 21. They know God, but they don't give him the honor that belongs to him. Nor do they thank him. Instead, their thoughts become... This is a Good News translation. I love this. It is accurate. Okay. Instead, their thoughts have become complete nonsense. Don't you get that every day? Looking out there at all the stuff going on? Their empty minds are filled with darkness. Verse 23, they say they are wise, but they're fools. Instead of worshiping the immortal God, they worship images made to look like mortals or birds or animals or reptiles, just about anything. Non-gender, whatever else, they worship that. Or some form of what they have created in their minds as to what is right and wrong. And again, we'll have a hard time dealing with people whose minds have been corrupted in so many ways, and we're going to have to do that and do it with love and understanding as to how they got off. You know, that's why God is angry. He says he's angry at them. You're hurting yourself. You know, and we've had our kids that do stuff that hurt themselves. You know, we get angry. You ran out in front of the road. Some matter with you. We love them, and they feel awful because we yelled at them, but I don't know. It's just, it's got to make God so sad. Oh, verse 24, so God has given the people over to do filthy things that their own hearts desire. They do shameful things with each other. They exchange the truth of about God for a lie. They worship and serve what God created instead of the Creator himself, who is to be praised forever. And, you know, the rest of this chapter goes on to talk about females burning in lust for females and males burning in lust for males. And he's specifically talking about something that God made so plain, but yet man is messed up to make it. If you say that literally people are canceled because they say just what the Bible says. We have a lot of work to do ahead of us, and just pray for people that are so confused and mixed up. Well, it goes on, and he enables us to see a little bit of what the kingdom is about too, even by what he did with the nation of Israel. And that was a type of getting people ready to be made in the image of God. In Exodus chapter 19, and again, this is at the time of Pentecost, and it's very instructional, that when God set up a type of government or a nation to be run in a certain way, that if you follow these rules, here's how your nation can be great. If you don't follow these rules, here's what will happen to that nation. Right? And God's setting it up to say, look, my way, I created you. I know how to operate your vehicle or whatever, your life, your nation, your family. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, he says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. And here's the time he established, he codified the commandments and made the covenant. He said, then you'll be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and you'll be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. It's been made man in his image so we can follow his basic way of thinking and doing things, done right, be successful. But he says, now I'm going to show you that in the form of a nation. Follow these rules, you'll be all right. Don't follow my rules, you won't be all right. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 7. And just as he created mankind to be his children and he cares for and loves them, he says, Deuteronomy 4 verse 7, what great nation is it that God has so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call on him. And that's us individually. But whatever reason, you can call on God. You can go before his throne and he's there. You got Jesus Christ at his right hand who sacrificed himself. We can go to him and call on him for any reason. And he cares. He wants us to internalize that. In verse 8, and what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are all of this law that I set before you this day. So it was on Pentecost that the Ten Commandments were given, in codified form, on the tablets. And it was during this time then that he set up even what the nation would basically look like. But it's based on his way. If you go to verse 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, he says, then you people came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven with darkness and cloud and thick darkness. Now even this, when he was establishing the nation of Israel, the people didn't see an image of God. They saw darkness and cloud. So that nation actually wasn't completely clear. God wasn't completely clear to them. And, he says other places makes it clear that they weren't called. But he says, you heard the sound, verse 12, you heard the sound of the words, but saw no form, you only heard his voice. So he gave the Ten Commandments, they heard him, but didn't see him. Now in chapter 24, verse 9, the 70 elders went up, and they saw an image of God. Okay, and the people were down at the bottom, they didn't see him. darkness as far as his image or what he was like. These 70 elders were down there and they saw a vision of what he was like. These 70 elders typify the first fruits. The world looks and they don't really see God for who he says he is. The first fruits are called, given the Spirit, and they see what the rest of the world doesn't see. When you follow me, I'll open your mind, I'll give you my Spirit, and you can see me. If you don't follow me, you can't see me yet, although that time will come. So it's interesting that even at the time that the nation, and he knew that they would go astray, but he set up the rules and said, if you follow me, you'll be all right. Exodus 25, then he gives instructions on how to make the tabernacle, and eventually the temple would be built, and what it would be like. And it says that it's kind of a vision of the throne. It's like God's heavenly throne. And so you see physically something that is a type of God's heavenly throne. Physically in man, you see a type of what God is. So there's that physical thing, there's that even that spiritual tabernacle that is given. And then the Ten Commandments were within that Holy of Holies. So the basis and the foundation for Israel and being a nation and how it's governed is governed by the law of God. So we get a glimpse of what God looks like, what his personality and character is like. We get a glimpse of what God's heavenly throne is like. But it all shows our imperfections. We are in the image of God, but oh, how imperfect we are in that, right? In our minds, in our ability to create, in our ability to think and to reason and to have the emotions and that God has, we're so woefully short, are we not? It says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So how does God help us to be like him with our fallibilities? What's something else he does to help us become like him and in his image? He sent his son to be created, to be like man, to be born of a woman, and to live a life so that he could relate to us and we could relate to him. And he sent something that's a lot closer to what we might imagine God to be, whom we have not seen. None of you have seen God. We can give a basic, he gives a basic outline of him, but you haven't seen him. You have a little bit of a hard time imagining him, right? Even though he gives some description. Well, he sent his son down to show, here's how you can be created in my image. Pentecost's focus is on the first fruits and what he's going to make of the first fruits. And then you get into the rest of the planning and all people become a part of that. But Israel was dark as to the fullness of God's perfect character. But in Christ, the Holy Spirit was given to enlighten us, to let us know more like who God is, what he is, and then the steps he expects us to take to become like him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. We could go on with many, many scriptures that point out this whole thing. We'll just touch on a couple here. Colossians 1 and verse 10. Colossians 1:10, it says, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. So you're living a life worthy, walking down that right path, in his footsteps. You're working to please him, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And just like a child when it's conceived begins to grow, it begins to develop, and it takes time. And as time goes on, that sperm and the egg develop into what has the form of a human being. That's really where we are. As long as we are growing, you quit growing, become spiritually aborted, then you will not become like him. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has glorified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So Jesus was sent and he brings light, the light of what God is who he is, what he expects us to be. Verse 13, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Verse 15 says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. You want to know what God looks like? Jesus said it specifically. You want to see God? You've seen me. You've seen the Father. And then he says, when you emulate Jesus, you become in the image of God. Do what Jesus did. You know, we develop and become in the image of Jesus Christ. We are the image of the invisible God. Chapter 1, verse 22 of Colossians says, yet now he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless, and you stand before him without a single fault with Christ cleansing, with us repenting, with us taking in the Holy Spirit given to us at baptism, that God pictures you as looking like him, spiritually even. And that's hard to believe. We all fall short of that glory of God, but that's how God looks at us. In other words, we can do it. We can make it because of his view of us. We don't have to give up. We're given hope so we can be part of his eternal kingdom. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. The New Testament uses the term likeness to mean a perfect reflection of the prototype. Now, Jesus Christ was the prototype, right? He was the one who was human, changed the spirit being as the first of the first fruits. Okay, this is the first one, you know, up the line. I keep up on cars and stuff. Peter probably does too. Okay. But they got a prototype of the new E-Mustang or whatever, you know, and it's out there and says this is probably what it's going to look like. Right? Well, Jesus Christ came as a prototype of all the children that will be born into God's family, and to be in his likeness as we become a perfect reflection of the prototype, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, verse 2 says, God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So Jesus Christ was a reflection of God. Verse 3 in the New Living Translation said, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. So then when we are in the image of Jesus Christ, we reflect who God is. Chapter 2, verse 10 of Hebrews. Hebrews 2 verse 10 says, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children to glory. Let us make man in our image. He's choosing to bring many children to glory. That's what he's doing. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. So Jesus was that perfect leader. And what we do when we reflect Jesus Christ is we're becoming like him. Like Danny was becoming like Chuck Norris because he went through the same routines that Chuck Norris learned on how to do karate, right? Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Here's a scripture that we quote and think of often, as we must in our lives, when we're wondering how things are going to turn out. But always include the next verse too. Romans 8:28. Says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And it says, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, He said, I'm going to choose people that are going to be like my Son, be in his image, thus being in my image, thus being a part of the kingdom of God. That's his purpose and goal. And so, you know, when we think, I don't know if anything's going to work out, it says all things work together for good because God's got a purpose for you, to be in his image. And we've got to walk down that path daily. And it's a process. I just got two more scriptures and that's it. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. The chapter is talking about the glory of God and our process. But it's kind of summarized here. New Century Version, 1 Corinthians 3:18, 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'll get it right. It says, our faces then are not covered. We all show the Lord's glory. And we are changed to be like him. And when God opened your mind, and he said, among other things, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He responded to that, among other things. Then you took on some of God's glory by obeying him. And were changed, you repented, you're baptized to be like him. And it says, this change in us brings even greater glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. And so we start off in this process, we receive the Holy Spirit, and then we keep working on ourselves, keep repenting, keep praying to God to help us do the right thing and to forgive the sins that we have. And we're brought to greater and greater glory until 1 John 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3 and verse 2. And so we're created to be in his image and eventually to what? 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the children of God. Okay, he's given us a calling. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be in its fullness. We can have some idea. He gives it that. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we'll see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. Every day, strive to become more and more like Him in our thoughts, in our actions, in our attitudes, to be more and more in His likeness and in the image of God until that time comes when we're changed to spirit being, to live forever in His glory.